switch continents to Asia, and more specifically, Indonesia. From a radio point of view, Indonesia must be one of the most interesting countries in Asia for the media enthusiast. It offers a huge variety of listening, and at certain times of the year, audibility of Indonesian stations is better than usual. For listeners in Europe and Australasia, conditions are fair to good at the moment, and yet this country doesn't often appear in many DX bulletins. So, as a guide, we're going to take a two-part look at listening to Indonesia as an introductory guide to this field of radio listening. Before we start, though, it will help if you can get a map of Indonesia in front of you to follow our path. Well, Indonesia is the largest country in Southeast Asia, with a land area of some 780,000 square miles. It's some 3,400 miles from east to west, 1,000 miles from north to south. And in that area, you'll find some 13,500 islands, of which 7,500 have no name, and only just over 3,000 are inhabited. Because of the size of the country, there are three time zones, and the total population is now in excess of 125 million. Well, some large figures, and to serve such a population, the radio structure that has sprung up is both complicated and fascinating. So we'll take a radio tour of the country, pointing out the language, music, and radio stations as we go along. Naturally enough, the seat of the national government radio station, known as Radio Republik Indonesia, is in the capital, Jakarta. The studios of RRI Jakarta are responsible for a total of four programs, two of which are confined to the capital, the Metropolitan and the All Music Service, and two outlets which are heard both in the capital and across the country. The first of these nationwide services is called the Special Program. It runs for part of the day and carries educational, science, and agricultural programs. The second service is entitled the National Service, and this not only broadcasts via several powerful shortwave transmitters, but the entire output is also fed to the regional radio networks, the Nusantara service. Now, this regional service is divided into five sections. For example, Nusantara 1 covers Sumatra, and the third Nusantara service covers Kalimantan, and so on. Each of these Nusantara networks has its own main regional studios. For example, the Nusantara 4 Center is in Ujung Pandang, presently being heard around 2030 GMT in Europe on the frequency of 4753 kHz, 4753, with this opening announcement.
Selamat pagi, para pendengar di seluruh kepulauan Nusantara, bahkan di mana saja siaran kami dapat diterima. Inilah Radio Republik Indonesia Nusantara 1 Ujung Pandang, kembali di udara mengantarkan acara siarannya untuk pagi hari ini, hari Rabu tanggal 9 Juli 1975, melalui gelombang-gelombang 60, 93, dan 120 meter. Para pendengar, selamat mengikuti acara siaran kami dan tetap merdeka.
Style of presentation and the opening music is standard for all of the RRI Nusantara stations, and they all carry the main news from Jakarta whenever it's carried on the national service. So let's look at that sign-on announcement again and have a translation.
Good morning, listeners in Indonesia and where this broadcast might be received. This is Radio Republik Indonesia, Nusantara 1 in Ujung Pandang, back in the air with broadcasts for this morning Wednesday in the 60, 93 and 120 meters. Happy listening from Freedom Forever.
93 and 120 meters. Well, that might sound quite straightforward, but there are other types of stations too. Jeff Cozier of the Down Under DX Circle in Melbourne, Australia, specialises in Asian stations, in particular Indonesia, and he's on the line now. Jeff, there's more than just the RRI network, isn't there?
That's right. There are stations other than the RRI stations, which I suppose, for want of a better abbreviation, just RPD stations, and RPD stands for Radio Pemerintah Daerah, which literally means local government radio. Now, there are all sorts of variations on the name. You'll find words such as Khusus, which means special in inserted, and some of them use other terms as well, but generally they're local government stations set up in the smaller towns throughout Indonesia.
Well, you've been to the stations there. What's their general outlook like? How do they operate? On a shoestring?
Yes, generally one could say that the stations I visited, which were the RPD stations at Klung Klung and Gianyar, for example, the station at Klung Klung had been off the air for some months due to the fact that one of the major components of their transmitter had been faulty. I asked them when they were expecting to get that part, and at the time they said something like in 4 weeks, which would have made a total of 4 or 5 odd months. So the reason for that was the scarcity of the part, which had to be procured from Java. So, of course, the factor there too is that a new valve as such for the transmitter would cost, well, only say $20 or $30, but still the bureaucracy they have to go through to get the cash to actually buy the part, there's quite a lot of red tape. Some of these parts, they have to wait until suitable finances are available, so generally one could say that they are running to a shoestring. The transmitters are prone to drifting. I'm quite sure that some of them, when new, were rated at well over 500 watts, but one notices that after only 6 or 7 months, the station become very, very weak indeed. In fact, probably due to the running down of the transmitter, the poor maintenance of them. So, the situation there as far as funding transmitters goes, not a very good one.
Well, from a DX's point of view, Indonesia is a bit of a rare catch in this part of the world. You've got to really know where to look, and most of the catches seem to come in around about the 60 or 90 metre bands. Now, what's the situation in Australia? I think you're far more fortunate there.
Well, that's right. We've got an all-water pass between Australia and Indonesia. Theoretically, the best DX spot would be up around the western Australian coastline. But here, we get stations fading in from Irian Jaya, which is the easternmost part of Indonesia, around, say, 6:30 p.m. local time, which is 0800 GMT. And, of course, the stations proceed to fade in as the terminator passes through the rest of Indonesia, and we hear them on any frequency from as low as, say, 2260, which is down below the 120 metre band, right up through the international bands where some of the more prominent RRI stations operate. On a really excellent night, it's quite common to hear, 150 channels from Indonesia coming through all at the same time, so it can be somewhat bewildering if a really good night comes up, which unfortunately aren't that regular. You'll get good nights, but for that really excellent night when everything will come through at some sort of reasonable level, it's a bit bewildering because you don't know really where to tune first. So it's quite easy to hear on any night, I'd say at least 60 stations altogether, at least, because there are just so many stations operating and the reception from that part of the world is not too typical.
Well, you can find English on some of these local Indonesian stations, though unfortunately the broadcasts are often at the wrong times for propagation conditions. Nevertheless, Jeff Cozier picked up this incredible news bulletin from RRI Denpasar.
This is Radio Republic Indonesia, Denpasar on 76.04, 248.4, 75 meters band, and 102 megahertz. Dear listeners, thanks, we'll hear today's news.
Here's the news, read by Leo. Here's the news headline. Begin this Monday, the task force team of Logistic Depot of Bali will give information to all the farmers about the realizations of the President's Instruction Number 15-19-8.
What a fascinating local English accent there. And at this point, note that Indonesian stations tend to announce the wavelength in meters rather than the frequency, a point to bear in mind when writing reception reports. And more on that later in this documentary. But at the moment, we haven't covered all the radio system yet. We've mentioned the RRI stations and the RPD local government stations. But there's a third category of low-power stations known as Anaktura, who have a completely different style of broadcasting. Listen to this one, recorded in the Jakarta area. And in the middle of summer too, a very different style than that used by RRI stations. So are these amateurs sort of pirates? Sietse van der Werf is the head of Radio Netherlands' Indonesian service.
No, not at all. They are all, they have all an official status because they need a license. Now, there are at the moment in Indonesia roughly about 465 radio stations in operation. 380 of them are commercial stations. Of course, all with a license. 26 non-commercial, non-RRI, and about 50 RRI stations. One of the things within the obligation of the license is the obligation to relay RRI Central Jakarta news.
So how do they pick up this news if you're an amateur radio station?
No, often from the air.
And you're obliged to carry that every hour?
Yeah. As often as Central RRI has a news bulletin. Yes.
Now, when they're not carrying this news, what sort of programming do they put together?
All sorts of music, together, of course, with their commercials, advertisement in it, many requests of local, it's all local, of course, people.
Do you hear many phone-ins there?
I don't think so. It's not that popular. Of course, it depends on local circumstances also, and it's very difficult often to get in time in touch with anyone who has a telephone, so it's rather difficult to use that.
Mm-hmm. Now, in a moment, we'll be looking at the regional types of traditional Indonesian music. Mm. But first of all, how popular is Western-style pop music in, say, the larger cities?
Rather popular. And even in Indonesian bands have a westernized style. Of course, Indonesian music has its own place and is still, in certain areas, very, very popular. If you take, for instance, Surakarta, Yogyakarta, well, middle Java, the old gamelan, if you can call it old because it's still very lively, the gamelan, the real Indonesian Javanese music, is very, very popular. But in the bigger cities, like Jakarta, Medan, other places, yes, Western music is also rather popular.
Now, the type of Western music that they play is rather softer, this to our ear.
Exactly. It's more the type of melando. If that says something, melando type music.
I see. So it's always much softer. What about country and western?
Also, but a softer kind. So if that exists, I'm not a music expert, but if that exists, yes.
Let's go back around the assembly. I think you've got a report from Rikard Johansson again, who's been in the Indonesian waters quite recently, and found the other kind of amateur, the ones that haven't got a license but pop up in the broadcast bands nevertheless.
Many of these stations sound like a broadcast station. They keep their transmitter on, letting the noise from family life and music from the radio or somebody singing go out for everyone to listen to. Suddenly, they're off the air when someone switches off the set. So, our Indonesian section editor, James Young, has to use his considerable knowledge and experience to eliminate such stations before they get into the list. And even the officially licensed private stations are hard enough to keep updated. So, don't be too hard on us if you find some information in the WRTH that is no longer correct. By the way, an updater on Indonesia should be ready for the August WRTH newsletter.
In general, the closer you are to Indonesia, the stronger the signals. And perhaps Europe may be one of the most difficult areas to DX, this Southeast Asian country. But it's not impossible. Mike Barakoff is on the line from the south of England now, and signals have been coming through on some evenings in the last few days. Mike, I suppose you find them between 4 and 6 megahertz, with most of them in the 60-meter tropical band.
Most of them, though you can hear some on the 1975-meter band, but as a general rule, these tend to be a lot weaker and more infrequently heard.
So I'm going to hear them on, say, an ordinary general coverage communications receiver, something like the FRG-7.
The FRG-7, yes, because some of the stations get quite strong, but for the weaker ones, do you need quite extensive equipment, because you do get problems often from strong utility interference.
And what time are they coming through in Europe at the moment?
At the moment, it's interesting, because the stations are signing on about 2000. Generally, they sign on at 2200 to 2300, as most of Indonesia is a Muslim country, and Muslims are currently in the Ramadan period, which means they have to fast during the day. So what's happening is people are getting up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and having their breakfast, and the radio is coming on at the same time.
Now, how do you go about identifying these sort of stations? You say they're weak, but do they come through? Are they copyable?
They are copyable, and one advantage is that Indonesia is a very, very clear language. Most of them just identify by saying Radio Republik Indonesia, followed by the name of the town from which they're broadcasting.
How well does the external service come through in Europe?
Not very well. The channel is generally clear, but the signals are very weak. The frequency is 11.789 kilohertz. They're in English from 1400 to 1500, in Thai from 1500 to 1530, German is 1530 to 1600, and Arabic is 1600 to 1700. Before each language block, they have been tending to identify in English. The signal is weak, but it's there most days.
And as well as the external service, what else comes through?
At the moment, one of the best signals is coming from Sibolga, which is in Sumatra, on 5259 kilohertz. I've heard them as early as 2030. Very strong signals. Generally, you're getting some local news programming, then Ramadan chants, and later into pop music. Three other quite strong stations lately have been Taken Baru on 5886. This comes through most of the year, actually. Generally signed on at 2230. Now, as I say, I've heard it as early as 2030 lately. Banda Aku on 4954. And Kanambang on 4856. All these stations are located in Sumatra.
You mentioned that they're coming through as they sign on. What about as they sign off?
In England, you can hear them in the afternoons from probably around October to March. Most stations sign off at 1600. They tend to fade in from about 1500 when they do in fact carry Jakarta news. The strength of the signals is probably a little weaker than the evening openings, but they're often easier to hear for the reason that you haven't got problems with utility interference you tend to get in the evening.
Thanks, Mike. And in part two of this program, we look at writing a report, the language, and the kinds of music from different parts of the country.